It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
All 911 calls have been rerouted to the new station, so it should be quiet.
Do you see how this film is very much like Assault on Precinct 13?
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn! Shit!
She walks in, and her commanding officer's losing his mind over something. You never find out what it is. So from the second she walks in, is it fucked up?
All right, enough. You guys, you got me, all right? The joke's on the rookie. Ha ha. Real fucking funny.
It's a classic survive until dawn story. You're trapped in this place. Can you make it through to the end? Can you make it through to the end of this shift?
Have you seen him here tonight? You have. I knew it. I felt him. Tonight is the 1 year anniversary of his death. And I'm here to celebrate.
Not only is she a cop, a rookie cop, on the 1 year anniversary, she's directly tied into the 1 year anniversary because of her father.
That's right.
I don't want to die.
That one scene between the filing cabinets and the way she was kind of, the monster was kind of just clicking her body, reminded me of Sadako from Ryu.
This movie freaked me out at a couple spots.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, there was some self-soothing going on this couch. Like,
oh yeah?
The once she leaves and then comes back in, that's the point of no return.
This is Jessica Warren at the old station. I'm in need of assistance. I repeat, officer in need of fucking assistance.
My friends, this is Cash Wampum welcoming you back to the Horror 101 podcast. This will be episode number 104. We're coming close to the end of our haunted theme year, and we wanted to spotlight a chiller that's relatively recent but might have flown under your radar. This film is a grand example of how sticking to basics can manufacture some great horror, how effective use of surround sound and lighting can induce genuine terror. You know we're fans of the one-set, one-night horror movies, and this picture is a solid entry into that category. So please sit back and relax, and join us as we give the Horror 101 treatment to Anthony de Blasi's Last Shift.
You are the lucky rookie to work the very last shift in this mausoleum.
Nick, welcome. What do you think of our new acquisition? It's not as cold down here.
It's nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Now that everybody's seen it. Turn it off.
Now we're going through flame withdrawal.
So tonight, continuing with our haunted theme,
yes.
We're going to do Last Shift. Who has not seen this film? Nick, why are we not surprised? You, how about you?
I have seen this.
You have seen Last Shift? We showed you this one a couple years
this
ago.
This was fun.
New, you've seen it.
10, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Interesting setting. John Carpenter fans will definitely get the Assault from Precinct 13 vibe.
Yes, there's definitely an assault at Precinct 13 vibe to it because it's very much a supernatural telling of that tale.
Yeah.
And I forget how I found this film, but I think that tagline kind of, it's kind of like John Carpenter's this. I'm like, really? Okay, well, let's give it a shot. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Have you seen it, Helen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you realize that I intentionally don't watch horror movies now.
Why?
So he can act surprised in the recording.
Yeah, I gotta keep my slate clean in case you ever decide to watch any of them.
But, okay, there's so many of them. There's so many of them.
And I'm pretty sure, like, forget the theme. Next year, there's no theme. I'm just going to grab flicks that probably will keep doing movies that will get back to the roots of Horror 101, where movies that are from okay to good that you might not have heard about, that because they're kind of obscure.
You mean like Dog Soldiers?
No, everybody fucking jerks off on Dog Soldiers on Facebook. Everybody posts about that as being
Brian would want
the
to be here
best
for that show.
Werewolf would, film ever.
Would be
I
here.
Did see that on Facebook, that it was like the best werewolf movie ever.
It's fantastic.
It's like the third best.
It's very
third?
Good.
Third? Well, it's top five.
It is.
It's Neil Marshall, man.
But how many good werewolf films have there truly been?
Five, maybe?
I don't know, it just depends on where Silver Bullet falls.
Well, there's been like nine Howlings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And none of them were even close to the book.
And there was American Werewolf in Paris.
That's a like, dick!
Well,
Silver Bullet was made for television, I think?
No, Silver Bullet was theatrical.
Was it?
Yeah.
I remember seeing it. Oh, okay. I thought it was a made-for-TV movie.
I've seen Halloween on TV. Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything? It's like it surprisingly nihilist of you on this. Nothing means anything at all.
Where are you? So this is a haunted police station.
About to close down.
Yes.
Spoilers!
It is the...
Think of that the first 30 seconds.
Say for 30 seconds. We're closing this place down. Done. Okay.
A rookie cop's first shift alone is the last night of a closing police station turns into a living nightmare.
Which, by the way, I mean, the setup is really stupid. It's her it's her first shift and the last night of a police station?
Well, I mean, one of the job, low seniority.
I guess.
Right.
It's a shit job that the rookie's going to get, and it should have been quiet. Nothing should have happened. And if any calls come in, forward it to the real police department and just make sure nobody comes in here kind of do. That was her job.
Yeah.
That's the way it should have started, right? But things escalate.
You had one job.
One job, film. One job.
Written and directed by Anthony DeBlasi. Anybody recognize that name?
No, sir.
I would like to see more. Find out if he's done any films since then, because I'd be watching for more of his films. I really enjoyed this
one. All right, well, let's check him out here. Oh, he directed... His first directorial debut was Dread. Which was the... That
you
was
liked, right?
Well, not Dread as in Judge Dread.
I was going to say.
No, the Dread horror film.
D-R-E-A-D.
You hated the ending for that one, as I recall.
And this was a telling of a Clive Barker story.
Never heard of it.
You never heard of Dread? Dread was a short story that Clive Barker wrote about these three or four college students that were in, like, this little social club of fear. They had this thing about fear, and they kind of got into each other's heads about...
And they're trying to up each other and scare each other?
Well, there was one kid that he was like the popular guy, and like all the girls wanted him, and this, that, and the other thing. He had leverage because of his status, and he basically made friends with these people in this club and figured out what their greatest fear was, and then manipulated them into having to deal with that. Clive Barker, man. So, but his first movie, the guy that directed this film, that was his first movie, was that adaptation of Dread. But if they did do an actual serious adaptation of that book, it'd be fucking spooky, man.
Yeah.
It'd be really fucking spooky. Clive Barker knows Dread, that's for sure. At least he did. I don't know how he's doing these days. So, we'll watch the movie and then discuss. You know what? Well, four of the five of us have seen it. I'm sure that Nick will enjoy it because it's a fairly good movie.
It is.
It's a good spooker.
Stanford Police Department.
Help me. I'm trapped. I think they might all be dead.
Dancing flame. I'll destroy your own. The ones that lie within your heart. The ones you pray for.
There's so much blood splashing around in there.
She fell to her knees and bowed to the king. That's what payment means. It was destined. The king of hell.
I like you. I'm gonna come back for you and all you love. Mark my words.
Mom, I told you I am going to be fine, all right?
Most cops go their entire career without seeing any action.
Look, Jess, for me, don't do this. Hey, do you know what? I got a nice
I'm gonna be really late, so we gotta, can we talk about this later?
Look, I need to talk about this right now. I can't take this anymore.
No, because I'm gonna be late and I'm gonna be fired before I even get to my first day of work, but I love you. I love you, goodbye.
Jessica Lauren, first night on the job, rookie, like her first shift, and her job is to babysit this defunct old police station. It's its last night, and basically she's the security guard for this shift, right? Gets a call from her mom, and her mom's like, yeah, I gotta talk to you about, why are you doing this? Why are you a cop? And it's like, yeah, I can't, I'm late, I gotta go kind of deal. And it's like, well, what about your father kind of deal? It's, there's already history there. Mom's given her, you know,
giving her
the, like, why of all things do you want to be a police officer? We know in the future why, you know, because dad was a cop and he was killed on duty. Why are you doing this? I get the feeling that this kid was probably bright, could have done whatever she wanted, but she chose to be a police officer in the legacy of her late father.
Hello?
How long you been there?
I just walked in. I'm Officer
Lauren. Turn around!
My order said to report
you. I said turn around!
From the very first part when she walks in and her sergeant is going absolutely ballistic and she realizes that he doesn't know that she's there watching him go nuts. Mm-hmm. And then he turns and figures out that he's being surveyed. How long you been sitting there? Long enough to see you going fucking nuts, kind of deal.
I'm Sergeant Cohen.
Officer Lauren.
Lauren?
Yes, sir. I was told to report here. It might have been a mistake. I thought the new station was up and running already.
Oh, yes, it is. And she's a fucking beauty. St. Michael himself would be impressed. And tomorrow, when you see it, you will fall down upon his steps and weep. But tonight, you're here.
I think that the sergeant knows that this place is evil. I think that the sergeant was probably dealing with his own demons from whatever was haunting this place.
Right.
All 911 calls have been rerouted to the new station, so it should be quiet. Okay, you may have some walk-ups, but just send them up the street. The address and my number are on the wall. If there's an emergency, call the station.
But even then, he is still fucking around with her. When he makes that reference about, right before that, he makes that reference about this all being biohazard, or right. You know, what is it? This is more radioactive than Hiroshima.
Yeah, and every crackhead's gonna try and get in here, and you're the only thing
he's
to stop it.
With
yes, I think I think he's trying to add some levity for his own sake.
He's trying to defuse the situation so that she won't be freaked out.
His mindset is not very good.
And the only thing left in these cabinets are some needles, some blood-stained, shit-stained clothes, basically all the bile crap that we collect from perps and crime scenes that have made their way through evidence and we can't throw in the trash. So Hazmat's going to be here sometime between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Do not leave. I repeat, do not leave the premises. Understood?
Yes, sir.
I'll be back to relieve you when your shift is over. Any questions?
No, sir.
Took me a minute to realize who she is, actually.
Who?
The actress. You ever see Arrow?
I never
She
really
plays one of
Ra's al Ghul's
daughters,
season.
I think.
No, she's Black Canary.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. There's been a few Black Canaries, so.
Well,
she was the original Black Canary. Yeah.
She's got pouty lips.
She does indeed.
Sir? Sir, you have to leave. The station is closed. Sir. Sir, if you don't leave the station now, I'm going to be forced to
Am I the only one that, whenever I see the vagrant that came in and pissed on the floor and keeps popping up, and she had to put him into the cell, and he was going through the evidence locker.
He's walking all over the shelves and shit.
Mickey Rourke.
No, that's what he does every Friday night anyway, so...
That guy reminds me of the box keeper from the original Hellraiser. Remember the guy that kept coming in he looked like a vagrant with the long Jesus beard?
Yeah.
And she's like, get the hell out of here. Get out of the store. And he's grabbing all the locusts and eating them. And she's like, you got to get the fuck out of here. And then at the end of the movie, he's the keeper of the box. He goes into the fire, grabs the box, turns into the demon, and fucks off. Never says a word. That's a Hellraiser reference, this guy. I guarantee you he's a Hellraiser reference.
He kind of reminded me of the head of the homeless gang in Prince of Darkness.
That was fucking Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely had it kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't have a beard. Alice Cooper didn't have a beard. That's Hellraiser, true. Brian Stewart. Shut up!
Jesus Christ. Move. Move!
I like how she kicks him out and notice
he does.
Even after he pisses all over the floor and she's like, oh Christ, I gotta clean this up kind of deal. Notices that he's got sores on his feet. He's in bare feet. So after she cleans up his fucking urine, she notices that there's this pair of
boots
just sitting there. So she grabs them and puts them on the front steps just in case this guy comes back. Hey, take these fucking boots. So she's got a humanitarian in her. Makes me like her a little bit more. I thought that was a nice addition.
That was a nice
touch
to make us like her. Yeah, absolutely.
And the next time you see the motherfucker, he's got those boots on.
When she's locked in the holding cell with the homeless guy, she is just tased, and the lights go out and it's pitch black. There's a good 30 seconds, which I would love to have been in a movie theater for that, just to hear the sound in an empty room, where, figure how horrible is that situation. She's locked in the room, right? And there's no way for her to get out of that room, because there's no way she can get out. Somebody would have to let her out. She's the only one there. She's got a crazed homeless man chained up in the corner, and there's something else in the room with her, and she's lost her flashlight. There's so many layers of that moment going completely fucking wrong that you're just like, could not get worse.
Hello? If there's somebody out there, you need to open the door now. You're interfering with the duties of an officer. You let me out now, I'll only give you a warning.
And somebody's in there, and she thinks it's him with the flashlight.
Which is stupid, because we know he's cuffed behind the back.
Give me the light back. And then whoever's holding the light shines the light on Buddy, who's still unconscious in the corner. And it's like, okay, there's somebody else in this room with me holding my fucking light. Give me my fucking light back.
But if you pay attention to it, too, there's three times the light turns on, and if you listen to the sound, it's basically like turning the flashlight on, rolling them to each other, and then the next one's lighting it up.
Yeah.
Do you want to get out of here alive? Who are you? I'm gonna hurt you.
And then you realize, oh, it's more than one person. And it's like, oh my God, how screwed she is in that scene. There are just layers of horrible in that moment, just stacking one on top of the other.
So periodically throughout this story, there's situations where, as the audience, you're like, lady, just get the fuck out of there. But something happens where it's like, okay, I've got a sense of duty. You know, I have to honor the memory of my old man who was a good cop and stick through this fucking shit.
I'm not ashamed of what I do. You ashamed of paying your taxes, taking care of your kids, or loving your wife? I do what I do because it is right.
You ever hit a girl right in the face with a baseball bat?
We dress ourselves in a cloak of
ignorance. Shouldn't even look like people anymore.
Don't fool yourself.
Face swollen. Teeth knocked up inside her forehead. It got me excited.
She fell to her knees and bowed to the king.
Are you suggesting we're devil worshippers? Devil's just another bitch of the Lord. Rebel angel that we call ourselves.
We are all evil.
I'm not ashamed.
But he's downstairs doing the Lord's work, just like the rest of them.
punishing them for their sins. That sounds like the Lord's work to me.
This kind of touches a little bit on real life lore, because they do kind of use the Manson family as a backdrop for this, right?
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, to a very different level.
If the Manson family were actually real Satanists and had, like, some real fucking clout with the King of Hell, because they even mentioned in this, it's like, forget the devil, forget Satan and his clipped wings, fuck that guy. Who do you think was down there before he went? The real King of Hell, that's who we work for. So these people are saying, forget Satan, forget the devil. No, there is a higher power down there, and that's who we work for, and that's where they get their power from, which was kind of interesting, because you always think that the devil is the highest fucking evil power that you could have. The Exorcist, I'm the devil, now kindly undo these straps. Like, the devil is it. There is none higher. These guys are suggesting, forget the devil. There's something else down there that the devil works for.
Well, the one girl even makes reference. She says something like dismissive about the devil, how he's some sort of a lackey for God.
Yeah.
She makes some sort of reference to it.
He ain't nothing. No, there's something else that's even more powerful down there that's waiting for him.
Satan is devil's, or is God's bitch.
I like you. Come on, come back for you and all you love.
So many to choose from. I could reach into a grab bag and pull out any scene. I could tell you why it was great. There's so, like Paul said, God, pick any scene. I probably would have gone for the office chair scene too, because I love the way that was edited. I thought it was seamless how they were showing the archival footage of the interviews and tying it into the scene, and the way in which she, the whole scene is just kind of rotating around because there's multiple TVs.
Three.
And then, the way it was shot with the office chair swinging by, and then in the background you see a body in the chair, like the one of the victims, one of the girls.
No, it was actually one of the bag pinnacle.
One of the bag, And then in the same shot, the chair would kind of pass behind her, and then the body would be gone. It'd be that quick. It almost reminded me of how in Ghost Watch they would just pepper the pipe sightings in the crowd and in the background just for a split second.
The ghost.
Yeah, it's just like.
And then the camera would pan back, and it's gone.
Just gone.
With me. All right, enough. You guys, you got me. All right, the joke's on the rookie. Ha ha. Real fucking funny.
So at some point, she looks into a room. There's a bunch of chairs all over the place. She looks back, and then within 2 seconds, looks back into the room, and there, all these chairs are piled up in a prism of chairs, just like the mom and freaking Poltergeist. Oh my God. Is it the TV people? But it's a fucking Poltergeist nod. I love it.
Yeah, that staggers belief a little bit that she thinks she's being pranked.
Well, that's one hell of a prank, man.
But also, I mean, I think a lot of it is she's kind of losing it. She's losing her body.
She'd have to think that was even remotely humanly possible.
Yeah. So?
What?
Is it just you, or are there others?
No, it's just me.
Oh, that's real fucking mature.
I'm not following you.
Is this like your thing? Is this what you do with your friends? You put every rookie through this little fun house?
Well, I don't think that we're on the same page. I came over here to check on you. I'm Officer Ryan Price.
This guy all of a sudden just pops out of nowhere, and she's down on him. Like, you know, how about fuck off? You know, is this what you do to all your rookies? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just came to check on you. I heard you were new and you're here, blah, blah, blah. And she's caught off guard, right? So she's like, okay. So he comes in, starts flirting with her, and she's like, okay, I don't mind the company. I'm glad you're here kind of deal. It gives us some levity. Because up until that point, we're like, what the fuck is happening? But it gives us some levity.
Plus, he comes from outside.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
and that's what throws it off, because everything else is, like, confined within the building. He actually comes in from outside.
Listen, honestly, when I found out you were working this shift, I snuck away to come see you. I knew your father.
Were you with him that night?
Yeah. I was there when that payment fuck
It's okay.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to know. They never disclose the details.
I knew your father. I worked with your father, and I was with him on this night where we went to pick up these dangerous people.
Not only was he with her father, he's the only one who can tell her what happened to her father.
Because they never disclosed the details to her, right? She's like, no, no, I need to hear this. Whatever you got to say, I'm interested. Well, here's how it went.
Listen, I really have to go.
You really don't have to go. I didn't mean what I said. I'm sorry if I was rude. You can stay.
No, I... Trust me, I'd love to. But if you need anything at all, just give me a call and I can pop right over and check on you. Do you remember my name?
Officer Price.
Right. I'll see you around.
Turns around, he's got a big fucking hole in the back of his head. Remind me of Sixth Sense. Oh, you want to see where my dad hides its gun? Turns around, he's got no head.
Yeah.
Because it's been blown away. It's like, what the fuck? And watching him leave the room, and then you can see him go through that one walkway where there's a window, and then you expect him to keep walking towards the front of the building, but he's gone.
Right.
Nice touch. That's horror. That was well done.
To be honest, I really liked the effect they did when you saw the body get pushed into frame at the end of the hallway.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, just the marionette type effect of it. Like, that was just really well done.
It was very...
Yes. Yes, but also I like the fact that ever since... What was it? The one with Jeffrey Rush? House on Haunted Hill?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since... The ramping, you know, where you see it standing there for a while and then suddenly it'll ramp or something. And then, yeah.
Like that shit?
For some reason, I was waiting for something. Like, part of my brain was like, God, I really hope it doesn't do that. I really hope it doesn't do that. And it didn't.
No.
I actually thought what it did was better.
I thought the same here.
Yeah.
It was like flashing, I'm in this position, flash, I'm in this position. Supernatural, but not that.
What was terrifying about this is that it's dangling there, but then you get the sense that the weight is now on the feet. So its feet touch down, you get a sense that it's starting to walk, so and now you're like, oh shit, what's it going to do now?
But it like the body's being pushed and then pushed, and then it looked like somebody invisible grabbed him from under the arms and lifted them up and started dancing with them, like fucking Chop Top with the fucking body in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And then you see behind him, it's really Leatherface fucking dancing around with the corpse, right?
I'm convinced that was a nod to Tina.
Yeah. Oh,
that the body being dragged.
The way
it's
being dragged. Yeah.
And then manipulated.
Tina was.
Yes.
But I mean, the difference, she was in a body bag, but she was still fucked with and moved around to fuck up Nancy.
Yeah. And then your stacked chairs.
Sir, this is Officer Lorne.
Is a place on fire?
No, sir.
Are you dying?
No, sir.
Then why the fuck are you calling?
I'm seeing things, I think.
What?
Like, I just don't know if I can finish the end of this shift, sir.
Well, what disturbs me is when she calls, she's obviously distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Is it on fire? Are you hurt?
Are you dying?
Yeah, why are you calling me?
One night alone in an empty police station, then I think you picked the wrong line of work. Apparently, the apple fell pretty far from the fucking tree. So, should I inform the captain of your resignation, or should I expect to see you at the end of the shift?
You'll see me at the end of the shift, sir.
Good. And don't call me again.
The whole point is, if he was going through this already, okay, and obviously there was evidence that he was going through something. If her phone call should have triggered, and he should have just come and hung out with her.
This is just between the two of us, okay? Nobody likes to talk about it in the department, but it was more than just
rusty pipes that got us out of that building. The Payment family wasn't killed on the scene like the news said. They committed suicide in holding, and after that, well, things started happening. At first it was small, like the lights turning on and off, missing evidence, abnormal sightings. Pretty soon we couldn't house perps in our own cells without them freaking out. The captain had enough and he pleaded with the county.
I gotta go.
So, I like how they kind of backfill later on, which is on the phone with the guy who's been very curt with her all this time, the officer at the other station who's...
Yeah, the new calls. The 911 officer.
He tends to dismiss her rather... Well, he's professional, but you can tell he's not really taking her calls too seriously. He's doing the letter of his job, and that's about it. Because he thinks maybe she's a little crazy, she's green, whatever. But he isn't overly kind until that last time when she talks to him and he says, "Listen, I'm going to level with you." And then he fills in the real story of the station, right? It's kind of like the telling of the tale two-thirds of the way through the film.
Yeah, there's like, okay, the department doesn't like to talk about it, but strange shit's been going on in that office, and that's why the captain was like, we want out of here.
Yeah.
Build us a new facility, because this is stupid. And we know it's been going on for a year, because it was the year anniversary from when the perps killed themselves in their cell. This poor rookie is there on the night where it has absolute fucking power.
Mm-hmm.
And
more so because she's there by herself.
By herself, yeah. She is completely compromised.
And she's directly tied in to... Not only is she a cop, a rookie cop, on the one-year anniversary, she's directly tied into the one-year anniversary because of her father.
That's right.
So...
I don't know, did you notice after she left, there was like somebody was breathing on the window?
Yes.
I took that almost as like a, like almost like.
But then what's all the shit she's seen beforehand?
Oh no, it's already fucking.
Yeah, there was always a haunting element there.
But there is the, once she leaves and then comes back in, that's the point of no return. That was like last chance. it's go time now, because after that, that's when shit escalates considerably.
The only scene that kind of breaks the disbelief for me is when she gets thumped over the head and dragged into the interrogation room by one of the girls.
A disciple that was not there.
No.
This is a ghost of a disciple that was not in the station.
A ghost, or is it one of the 13 remaining family members that were at large?
How do you know?
Because she was mad that she wasn't brought with him.
With the two girls when he died.
And so she killed him, because this was the one-year anniversary that he died. Yeah. So she killed to be with him on the anniversary.
Yeah.
I would do anything for him. I am a little jealous that he took those two bitches with him that night. Should have been me. I forgive him. I can never stay mad at John Michael.
You need to give me my fucking weapon back.
You need to shut the fuck up!
Okay.
Have you seen him here tonight? You have. I knew it. I felt him. Tonight is the 1 year anniversary of his death, and I'm here to celebrate. So...
I think because this was the anniversary night, the power of the haunting force kept escalating, almost like an Oculus, the way it ramped up power.
Yeah.
That it was, there was always there, because it was affecting him, but it was probably working up to the point in which they actually hung themselves. Like, that was probably the zenith of, you know, the anniversary, right? And the closer they got to it, the worse things got.
I get the idea that basically, like, she's like the last sacrifice when she kills herself. Because there's a line, somebody says something in, like, the blood of the children or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Because he's trying to come back or whatever, and that's what I'm basically saying. Like, that girl, the crazy one, killing herself is basically, like, the last push that they need.
I wanted to say I really liked all the nods to the movies, the other horror movies. Like, that one scene in between the filing cabinets, and the way she was kind of... you know, the monster was kind of just clicking her body. It reminded me of Sadako from Ringu.
Do you see how this film is very much like Assault on Precinct 13?
Yeah.
It's a supernatural spin on it, right? Except Assault on Precinct 13 had many people in the defunct precinct, right? This one has one person in there assaulted by whatever the fuck's going on.
Yes. It's kind of a cross between Assault on Precinct 13 and 1408. A lot of parallels to 1408, so watching this the second time around, the way it's paced and the way it's set up and the way in which you've got people, once they enter that building, they're trapped there. They can't ever seem to get out.
Yeah. When she shoots the door and the glass doesn't bust and the bullets just disappear, that's the 1408 moment. That's the moment where she realizes, okay, I am not getting out of the situation.
Hello? Dad?
I missed you.
This isn't real.
It is, baby. I'm so proud of you. You're just like your old man, you know. Strong, dedicated, loyal to the job.
I did it for you.
Then when are you trying to leave, huh? I laid down my life for this job. I expect you to do the same.
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm really sorry. I just got really scared. But I won't leave, okay?
That's my good book. Now the man that took your father's life is still in this building. I want you to do something about it.
Dad? Dad?
This girl has to carry the entire fucking film. Do you think she did a good job?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the entire film is this girl.
Yeah.
You know, you got 2 minutes of the dead cop that's a ghost that we don't figure it out until whatever.
And whoever's talking to her on the phone.
There you go. That's it. You know,
she's got big, big eyes.
And pouty lips.
She's very pouty. And that's actually one of the things I really did like, regardless of where you stand on what's actually happening. I like to see the progression of her makeup and her togetherness in the film. Like, she comes in, her hair is in a bun.
She's got that tight ponytail.
She's got that the cop ponytail, right?
Yeah.
So nobody can grab the back of her head.
No.
The cops have, right?
Yes.
And then you start seeing as shit starts going south, she starts having, like, missing strands. She's got that
long piece. One strand that's come out.
And then you start seeing, like the collar on her shirt's been kind of torn open a little bit. She's not put together as much.
Yeah.
Sanford Police Department.
Yeah, this is Officer Lauren. I just received a distress call at the old station. It was a possible 1054. I was told all emergency calls were rerouted, so...
All calls were rerouted.
Well, they weren't, because I just received one.
Nude used to work as a 911 operator, so... Nude, tell us, do you have any stories that you can share? And is there any accuracy in this film about how the 911 calls were going through or anything like that?
That had to be a fucked up job.
It was a great job.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
I would have just stayed there, but it wasn't full time, and you can't just live on call, right?
So. Yeah, no.
No, it was great.
It was here in Windsor?
Yeah.
Man, but you had to hear some fucking stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
For the longest time, I was a domestic violence magnet. Oh. Every call I got was domestic violence.
No. Whenever I hear a horror story about how bad jobs can get, I remember that the macabre Todd Gervais worked in body retrieval.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's rock bottom. And I'm like, he couldn't give names or specifics, but I'm just like, nope. Better man than I.
Daddy?
Jessica. They're coming, baby. You have to stop them. Whatever it takes.
Who's coming?
Far. I am not going to spoil this. That's my favorite scene right there, is the fact that Cash Wampum is not going to spoil this film for our listeners. If you haven't seen this movie, you're definitely going to want to, and I'm not going to spoil the ending for it. So we're going to score it, and we're going to start with Nude.
I'll give it an 8.
Yeah?
Yep. Good movie. Like I said, several favorite scenes. A lot of nods to other horror movies. The acting was good, and you guys are... I mean, I don't care, but you guys are huge fans of the one scene setting, so, yeah.
Yeah, one scene, one night, a really good element for horror, absolutely.
I like the fact that she's got the connection to what happened there exactly a year ago, so I like how that's, you know, obviously she's a rookie, but fate, if you want.
She's tied in.
Yeah.
She's part of the legacy.
It was her fate that she would actually have to be there. Because her father was involved. So no, it's a good movie.
Show me your hands! Show me your hands! Do it now!
Paul B, score it!
I'm gonna go 9.
9! Nice score!
9.
Expand!
For all the reasons we mentioned before, there's... Jump scares are very well done. It's incredibly well acted. She carries essentially the whole film on her shoulders.
And she does it brilliantly.
She does it very, very well.
Yep.
You could take the story a couple of different ways. You could take the reality of the story starting at different points. So there's still some questions to what's happening. It's not padded, it's short, but it doesn't feel short.
Yeah.
It's only 87 minutes, I just looked it up.
Yeah.
It's only 87 minutes, it's not very long at all. Some really, really, truly scary scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't even say spooky, I would say legitimately scary scenes.
Would you watch this again in 1 week?
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, easily. Easily.
That's that is a good compliment right there. Yeah. 9 from you?
Yes, sir.
Nice score.
Hey! You're new, right? Yeah? I thought so. I could pick a rookie out of a whole room full of pigs. Well, you still got that look on your face like you give a damn.
What do you, Nick? You're the first one. You're the only one in this room that has not seen this before tonight. What do you think?
I'm giving it a 9.
9 from Nick. Expand.
This movie freaked me out at a couple spots.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, there was some self-soothing going on this couch. Like,
oh yeah.
I'm also that whole pitch black. You know, I'm not gonna say I'm afraid of the dark because I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of...
What's in the dark?
What's in the dark?
I'm afraid of being in a pitch black room and hearing something. I've told you... I think I've mentioned this story before. When I had to work late in one of the offices downtown at the top of this old, creepy-ass building, half the lights are off, and I realize you guys did the ghost hunting thing and all that, and I totally support that, but I don't typically believe in that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard things. Movies like this fuck with me because I know what it's like to be the only person in a place where you're hearing shit because your mind starts playing fucking tricks on you. So movies like this, yeah, trigger warning.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so there was a couple moments where I'm just kind of like, I don't want it. I need an adult.
That's good. That's dread. Good. Honest to goodness, dread. It's rare down here, but when it happens, I'm happy. Certainly.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, let's see. There is a crazy homeless man in holding as we speak. He pissed all over my lobby. It's not really funny.
It's kind of funny.
Actually, it was pretty gross.
Brian Stewart?
You know what? It was a 9 the first time I saw it. It's still a 9.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it holds up on repeat viewings. You know, it has a lot of touches of classic horror films that we like 1408, like House on Haunted Hill, like Night of the Demons. It's a classic survive until dawn story. You're trapped in this place. Can you make it through to the end? Can you make it through to the end of this shift? And we've seen that formula before. We've never seen it in this setting. And they took something of fluorescent lighting and, you know, office space and office furniture and long hallways of empty rooms, and they made it utterly terrifying. They took these squeaky clean floors and fluorescent lights, and it broke me. it's really well done. The haunting element ramps up at a nice pace. It's not all at once. It starts with little things like doors being opened and keeps ramping up. And I like how they kind of fill in the backstory of the place as she goes along and hears more about it. And as the haunting element gets worse, we get more details. So it's a really well-constructed horror story. It's like, you know, it's a good sign when we're asked to pick our favorite scenes, and it's like,
and
where do I pick? Where do I begin? The start of the film and then the end. I can't give it a perfect score, and we won't talk about it. The final shot of the film does put a nice little black bow on it. I don't like the ending.
Okay.
So it's a solid 9 because it is simply a well-executed horror film made by somebody who understands horror. He made this for fans. He knows that anyone watching this who's really going to like it are people who have seen 50, 60, 100 horror films, because he's playing on our expectations. And I think he pulled it off magnificently. This is one of the best modern horror films I've seen probably in the last 15 to 20 years.
Yes.
They know where I am.
Who the fuck is this?
Monica
is dead.
I'm gonna match the 9. I don't think it's perfect. Mm-mm. Okay, it's not like the Changeling, it's not the Poltergeist or anything like that, but as far as modern horror goes, as far as horror films that are original that have come out in the last 10 years, this movie is probably within the top 5. This would probably go up against Babadook.
Yes.
I'm failing to think of anything else in the last 10 years that is this good. The actress who played this cop, I liked her. She carried the movie well. It was written well. There are nods to Poltergeist. There's nods to Amityville Horror. There's nods to Nightmare on Elm Street. Subtle nods. Nothing over the top. Nothing that makes you roll your eyes. There's good imagery in it. There's good, what'd you say, it was 87 minutes?
87 minutes.
So if this was 107 minutes, it wouldn't be half as good.
No.
Because there'd be too much fluff. This movie does not overstay its welcome. We're not going to spoil it, but it's got Brian doesn't like the ending. I thought it had a fantastic ending.
Yeah.
And yep. I would challenge anybody, if you're in the mood to get the shit scared out of you, put this on, turn off all the lights, turn up the volume, and just open your mind, and I guarantee you, if you want dread, this movie will give it to you. And it's not going to overstay its welcome. It's only 90 minutes of your time. The Horror 101 crew says, fucking watch this movie.
This is Jessica Lauren at the old station. I'm in need of assistance. I repeat, officer in need of fucking assistance.
Poor Officer Lauren. What a way to start a career. Trapped in a haunted police station, no one coming to help. How will she survive the last shift? You're gonna have to get your hands on the film and find out. Props to actress Julia Harkavy for carrying this entire film on her shoulders, and for director Anthony DeBlasi, who had to shoot this film in just 10 days. Him and his team used that time to great effect and produced an excellent ghost story. We hope you like this show. We've got one more haunted movie podcast coming at you for the end of the year. It will be our New Year's gift to you. What we have planned will certainly put the cherry on top of this theme we've been rocking. We hope you join us for that conclusion. For the world famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101. Educating your fears.
And at that moment, I just want to be like,
pork chop sandwiches! Oh shit! Get the fuck out of here! What are you doing? Go! Get the fuck out of here, you stupid idiot! Fuck, we're all dead! Get the fuck out!
How long have you had that sitting there waiting for this moment?
He was waiting for it. That's gotta make the show.